UK Wine Show, show number 89, Ollie Smith. On this week's show...
My wife was literally expecting our first baby about 3 weeks off, and then when I won it and I said, I'm going to do it, I love it, I'm going to do wine. She was like, you've got a great job, you can't be serious, please, we're just about to have a baby, we need stability, don't do this to me, you're going to drink for a living.
And in the news this week, odd bins to sell wine by the case, drinking surveys get revamp, and could sugar on labelling be the way forward?
G'day, welcome to the UK Wine Show, show number 89 for the 1st of February 2008. My name's Chris Scott, and this week we're talking with wine personality Ollie Smith. Ollie is a UK-based wine expert who burst onto the UK wine scene 2 years ago. We'll talk with this vivacious and funny guy about wine and why the BBC snapped him up to become one of their faces of wine. But before we get into that, let's have the news with Jane Scott.
Thanks, Chris. Oddfins is to follow Majestic by starting to sell wine by the case in nearly 50 stores later this year. Castell, who own Oddfins and Nicholas, say the plan is to split the shops into high street, bulk and suburban stores to focus in on the strengths of each shop location. To start with, 47 of Oddfins bulk stores, or large retail units as they're known, will focus on case sales. These are the ones with car parks that allow customers to load their wine. They say up to £2.5 million is to be invested in the expansion of both high street and bulk stores, while 21 outlets are to be sold off. Next up, the Office of National Statistics has updated its methods for calculating wine consumption to reflect the increased alcohol content of the average bottle of wine, as well as the size of the average wine glass. From now on, a small 125ml glass of wine will count as 1.5 units, a medium 175ml glass as 2 units, and a large 250ml glass as 3 units. Where the glass size is unspecified, the unit value will be counted as 2 units rather than 1 to reflect the average medium glass size. The ONS say they've made these changes to reflect the popularity of larger wine glasses in licensed premises and the availability of more alcoholic wines, often from the New World. And finally this week, a producer from Alsace is putting the amount of residual sugar on the labels of its Rieslings to help consumers know which wines are sweet and which are dry. Château d'Orchefort say that unless a consumer knows a producer's particular style of wine, it's difficult to be sure just what sort of wine they're buying. Riesling can be made to a variety of sweetness levels, so the company has included this information to help drinkers make an informed choice. Of course, this assumes that consumers have an idea of what level of residual sugar constitutes a sweet or dry wine. But there are defined levels set down by the EU. A dry wine is one with anything of up to 4 grams of sugar per litre. Up to 12 grams of sugar per litre constitutes a medium dry wine. And a medium or medium sweet wine must exceed the level for medium dry, but not exceed 45 grams per litre of sugar. And a medium or medium sweet wine must exceed the level for medium dry, but not exceed 45 grams of sugar per litre. And a sweet wine must not be less than 45 grams of sugar per litre. It might sound confusing, it's confused me, but the winery hope more producers will follow suit so that consumers will know what they're buying and won't be disappointed. That's all for this week, but don't forget, there's more detail on these stories on the news homepage of our website, 3050.co.uk. Back over to you, Chris.
Cheers, Jane. Oddfins have been bleeding money now for a while, and it's no wonder they're changing some of their stores to case sales. Majestic have been very successful in this format. But my concern is, if you buy wine by the case, it's likely that you're seriously into wine. Which is why Majestics have been so successful and have got such a high average price for their bottles. I don't know if Oddfins have the range to meet that requirement and whether the staff are knowledgeable to handle these high-end customers. I occasionally go into the wine shops around Twickenham where I live. Not necessarily Oddfins, but some of the guys don't really engage in the product. They could be selling cans of soup for all they care. Thankfully, most of the staff at my local Oddfins are quite good. But I did go in to buy a bottle a wee while ago, and I said, can you give me a recommendation? And the guy serving came along and he steered me towards one of the specials they're having. And he waxed lyrically about this bottle of wine, how fantastic it was, how it was perfect for what I needed. I asked him for what he thought of it personally when he tasted it. And he was pretty honest, but he said he hadn't actually tried it. Now, that's not the sort of wine recommendation I want. A wine that someone else has told him to shift some product. So I wasn't that impressed. The same day, actually, I went into a Majestic. I was on a bit of a Spanish binge at the time. And I went into Majestic to buy some Spanish wines. And I spent about a quarter of an hour with one of the sales guys, just a young guy there. I talked about what I wanted, and we went through the wines he'd tasted and the ones he'd liked, why he thought I should have those wines. And that's the sort of service I want from someone. You know, I don't pretend to know all the wines in a wine shop, so I want advice on it. I know what I want, and I want someone to work with me to get those wines. I think that there's more to the reason Oddbins aren't profitable than just the store format. But I hope Oddbins do well. It's really important for the high street that Oddbins are performing well. It'll put some pressure on the supermarkets and also just give us more opportunity to buy a bigger range of wines. The other news, when I first heard that they were changing the units of wine in a standard glass, I thought, oh my goodness me, here we go, the PC Brigade have got stuck in. But I'd looked at the numbers and 3 units of wine at 250 mils is based on a 12% ABV or 12% alcohol. And to be honest, I think that's actually quite low. If you look at most of the wines you try now, it's 12.5% is pretty typical. Sometimes, you know, there's a lot of wines at 13%. So 12% seems like quite a reasonable number to me. If anything, it might actually be a bit low. So I'm quite behind this. We all want to drink within the healthy guidelines most of the time. But I think if you want a more meaningful way of working it out, rather than some arbitrary measure, we've put on our website a really good table that I use a lot. What it does is it plots the alcohol level by the units. So if you say, all right, I want to drink 4 units in a day and my bottle of wine is 12%, you can look it up and work out how much of that bottle of wine you're allowed to drink for those 4 units. I think that's far more useful than sort of some of the measures you get. Hopefully, if they put the number of units of a bottle of wine on the label, then you can work it out, you know, half bottle of wine or 2/3 of a bottle of wine, hopefully for a low alcohol wine. So I'm all for that as well. Today I just got back from the Wines of Australia tasting. They're held every year and they're a really good opportunity to taste a lot of wines. There's a lot of wines of Chile, wines of Argentina. These are big tastings. Some of them are trade, some of them are consumer. But many of the tastings are broken into 2 parts. A day for the trade and another for the enthusiastic quaffers out there. And if you listen to the show, you're certainly one of those. The shows give you a chance to try more wines than you could possibly imagine. And they're listed with winemakers and all sorts of people who know lots about wines. The Aussie Consumer event had around 600 guests and they were all paying about £20 to £25 to get in. But given many of the wines are premium, you just can't get better value if you want to experience a big range of high quality wines in one go. Next time one of the Wines of shows are on and they allow consumers in, I'll definitely try and remember to remind you that they're coming up. Next up though, we have the interview with Ollie Smith. This interview was recorded at the end of last year during the wine show. So we opened it up with a bit of a chat about the wine show. Hi, I'm here with Ollie Smith, a wine personality and general wine fella. How are you, Ollie?
I'm doing great. I'm having a great time at the wine show. I just think it's brilliant to see so many people all engaging with it, having a laugh. And the great thing is it's really informal. People chatting, telling each other what they think of it. There's none of this kind of stuffy swirling and sniffing and, you know, people being down on it. Everyone's up for it. I've had a lot of people on my wine walks just saying, well, that was amazing. I never thought of tasting that. Actually, I don't like it. But I really, yeah, you know, I really enjoyed tasting it. You're like, yeah, well, brilliant, you know. And I just get really enthusiastic about these kinds of things. It's brilliant just for people to see what they do like, what they don't like, to get a handle on the vintages, to see all these different producers, and to meet guys like, of course, your good self.
Oh, thanks very much, Ollie. You're actually relatively new to this wine presentation side of things.
It's true.
But I was reading some background note on you, and it sounded like you'd sort of been quaffing the stuff in Edinburgh for a while.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah, I was. I'm 33 now, and my first kind of lick of wine was I was 20, and I went into an Oddbins for a free tasting, and I'd never really drunk wine. We had like bottles of wine maybe on a Sunday at home, but you know, my folks were, my dad's a teacher, my mum's a nurse. They weren't that into it, you know. But the great thing was they got into it when I got into it. So it was a real, you know, it's been a real journey that for me. But the first time I tasted it, I had a £3.29 bottle of Terret, I think it was, in Oddbins. Not particularly well-known white grape variety from France, but I thought it was zesty, it was fresh, and I thought, this is brilliant, I can go and taste this with my mates. It's not much more than a pint, and I'm a student, and as I'm drinking it now, it happens to be free. Brilliant. So I had this free tasting, and I thought, this is absolutely the nuts. This has got to be the way forward. And I went to those free tastings every Saturday. Then I got a job in Orange & Company Vintners in the Channel Islands, where I was living at the time in the holidays. I thought, this has got to be the way forward for me. Then when I left college, I went off and did a bit of travelling and got a job working in TV and film as a scriptwriter and voice artist. Yeah, yeah. But wine was the thing I kept coming back to, and it was the thing I spent all my money on. My lovely wife, Sophie, who's just a complete legend, and I must apologise publicly because I did blow all my cash in my 20s on wine because I loved it.
Oh, that's fine. I did that as well, but it was more at parties than it was at my <value stuff.
laughs> she's very understanding. But it was about 2 or 3 years ago. There was this competition called Wine Idol that was run, and not many people
Hardy's
heard of it. Yeah, exactly. Hardy sponsored it. And my mate Mark called me up and said, this sounds like you. They're looking for somebody who's fresh, you know, not got wine experience necessarily, but got real kind of interest. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know what, I'd love to go for that. And I think about 6,000 people downloaded the form to fill it out and got down to the last 10 and thought, bloody hell, this is interesting. Good, yeah. My wife was literally expecting our first baby about 3 weeks off. And then when I won it and I said, I'm going to do it. I love it. I'm going to do wine. She was like, you've got a great job. You can't be serious. Please, we're just about to have a baby. We need stability. Don't do this to me. You're going to drink for a living? And literally, she was just so nice about it. And I started off on satellite telly, Great Food Live, did a bit of other satellite things, Taste on Sky One, Food Uncut. Then I got the gig on Saturday Kitchen, and from there it grew into Richard and Judy's Wine Club. And then from there I've been doing writing and goodness knows what, and working with all sorts of amazing people, and I keep pinching myself. I'm just having the best time. I love it, and it's all underpinned by the stuff I love most, the wine, and that's really for me a thrill. It's
complete. Have you had much formal qualifications? Like you're
not
obviously
at all. No, not at all. I'm a complete lover of wine. I mean, I did my advanced certificate at the WSET, and I think those courses are fantastic. But for me, it's all about, I spend an awful lot of time travelling and going to meet the winemakers, going to the vineyards, tasting. I taste all the time in the UK. I mean, any given day, I'm tasting upwards of 50 wines at the moment, and it's that really gets me excited. Gives me the handle on the yardstick of what's good, what's bad, what I'm interested in.
How are your teeth holding up?
Yeah, actually, do you know what? They were really bad earlier this summer. How you got? You're all right with the teeth. Do you use teeth whitening stuff?
No.
It's bad though, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Some people do the reds first and then they say the whites rinse it off, but I'm yet to be convinced.
Whatever it is, you said, you've stripped your enamel.
Yeah,
you look at the hardened winos have been in it for 20
mention
years.
No names, but I saw a guy today with those tombstones and thought, oh no, that's
it's tragedy.
Or should you just knock them out and get, you know, false gnashes all the way, or really sharp ones like vampires and
gold.
Yeah, I love it.
Go with your hair,
bling tasting. Yeah, the flame of hair, exactly. Yeah, people keep telling me I look like Boris Johnson. I don't know if that's a compliment or not. Boris Johnson,
Susan
and Matt
Atkins
Lucas.
Pointed the picture out and she goes,
funny.
Who do you think that is? You know? I said,
you know, Boris is a pretty cool guy. I always like him on I've Got News For You and stuff, so I'm happy with that. But nobody's ever seen us in the same room together, so you never know.
Exactly. Okay, so you've been doing a lot of travel. Obviously, when you won Hardy's, they sit you around, got you a good grounding, all that sort of stuff.
They did, indeed. And I spent a few weeks in Oz and New Zealand, and that was brilliant for me because that was a lot of the areas that I'd been interested in previously. You know, the upfront, straight-talking, really accessible world of wine that I think has done so much for the wine world. I just think plain English has got to be the way forward. Say it how it is. Get people encouraged and enthusiastic. Don't build up barriers, you know. It's enough. People feel enough of a sense of risk about wine when they're buying because they don't know what they're buying. You know, generally speaking, I look at a wine, I think, well, how the hell am I going to know what it tastes like? You've got to taste it. You've got to be confident and just go for it. And I think that the New World especially has been brilliant, giving people that confidence, making them feel like they can own the subject. You know, rosé is a brilliant example. It's massively popular in the UK. It's a simple style of wine. People really think they can, it's mine. I can own it. I know this. I understand what it is. That's the way we should be about every single wine for me. I just think there's nothing to fear. It's interesting. It's for me, it's as interesting, if not more interesting, as, you know, great cooking, great recipes, great books, all of that stuff, films, movies, sports. I just think wine, endless. I mean, it just encompasses absolutely everything.
Yeah, yeah.
You know this. I mean, your listeners know this as well. I don't want to bollock on too much about it, but I just think travel, culture, taste, flavour, intelligence, creativity, weather, soil, natural stuff, machines. I just think, is there nothing this doesn't touch?
I do like the machines, actually.
The machines.
My background's engineering, so I like toys.
You like the toys. I tell you what, I just was in Banfi, in Castello Banfi in Brunello, and they got these crazy big fermenters that are stainless steel on the top and bottom. bottom. It's because the corners are easier to clean.
Yeah.
And then wood.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen them in Saint Emilion as well.
Massive things.
Yeah, yeah. Huge.
I've never seen those before.
And they replace... I don't know if they're the same ones, but they have to replace the wood every couple of years.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. And, that's an unbelievable job. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Mind you, bringing back the Coopers. That's got to be good.
Yeah.
Give the Coopers a big up. Big up the Coopers. Loving your barrels. Yeah.
Excellent. So Hardy's, they did some stuff with you. You did some work with them for a while.
Yeah, I wasn't employed by them, but I had a year where I was supposedly the wine idol for Hardy's. And I wasn't employed by them.
Did they give you a bit of job? Yeah, because you obviously had... Did you give up your day job?
That's a great question. I wasn't employed... They didn't give me a salary, and I didn't have to talk about their wines, because the agreement was basically that was my title for a year. So I didn't have to do anything with it. It was a great job, but I didn't get paid anything, and all it was a headline, because this guy wins Hardy's Wine Idol, and then after that I had to make it work. So I carried on doing a bit of writing and gradually built up the wine tasting, but it took me 3, maybe 6 months to go full-time, just doing the satellite telly, just recommending. I got a little bit of writing work, and from there I just thought, this is it. I've got to just take the plunge. This is all I want to do. I just want to look at every wine I can find and tell people about it if it's good. That's all I want to do. It's brilliant. I love it. Ha!
I must admit, my goal was to be able to get paid to drink wine for a living. So,
it's an incredible thing. Yeah, high fives to that.
Yeah,
come on.
Exactly.
But people, literally... on your passport, what do you put? Professional drinker? I don't know. It's like, well, I love wine. It's just brilliant.
Wino.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why you tell people that. So that works quite well. Okay, now that sounds cool. So you built up through, did a bit of satellite TV. Now Richard and Judy.
Richard and Judy's Wine Club, yeah.
Yeah, that one there is huge.
Oh, it's enormous, yeah.
Because Avery still supply all the wines to them?
Laithwaite's, right? Indeed,
is
yes.
It Laithwaite's now?
It's Laithwaite's, yeah, but they're kind of linked, aren't they? And they're, I think they're...
Avery's in Bristol, I thought Laithwaite's. Anyway.
I don't know, maybe they're kind of... who knows, but it's... hang on, have I got that right? Is it Laithwaite's? Yeah, it's Laithwaite's.
It used to be Avery's when it was first launched.
That's right, thank you, so that's it.
Probably Laithwaite's now.
It's Laithwaite's.
Because the Laithwaite's are everywhere.
They're so big, yeah. And I do that with Susie, lovely Susie. I don't know if we're coming back for another series in January, I really hope so. But we had a great time doing it, and what I like about Richard and Judy is basically they just say, get on with it, go and do your thing. They're both really into their wine, which is fantastic, and they're just enthusiastic. They want to get their viewers just having a good experience tasting things. I love what they do with their books and their films, and it's amazing how many people watch. You get millions of people live at five every day.
Richard and Judy, yeah,
unbelievable.
What was it? When Avery's were doing it anyway, before Laithwaite's, they were selling so much wine through the Richard and Judy book.
The volumes are amazing, and the passion that people have for it, I just think, well, brilliant, bring it on. People want to drink wine, I'm all for it. And all other drinks, of course, but I happen to prefer the wine.
Wine, for sure. You must, now that you've been in the trade now, for 2 years?
A couple of years, yeah.
You must be starting to think, right, where do I want to go next?
Definitely.
What's happening next?
Yeah, for me, telly all the way. I love doing telly, and hopefully I can try and get my own show. I love what Oz and James have done for wine. I do it in a slightly different way, but I'd love to do a show that was devoted to wine, and that's a possibility. Writing a book at the moment.
What's that about?
Well, I can't really talk about it. It's just gone to the publishers, it's one of those. So I'm really sorry, but it is basically, in a kind of nutshell, what I can say is it's wine from a different point of view than just going to the winery and tasting it. But it does involve quite a lot of travel. But it's been really fun. So hopefully that'll be coming out next Christmas. And we must talk about it again. I'm really sorry to sound like a complete fool and say I can't really talk about it, but I'm not allowed to yet. So I'm doing that and carry on writing for the columns and all of that. Wine and Spirit magazine, I love doing the men's health stuff. That's all great.
Do you actually do much on wine and health in there?
That's a great question. We have done the kind of the benefits, and the... Yeah. The Dr. Roger Corder did his study that came out, and we looked at that a little bit. He's great. We had him on Food Uncut. Yeah,
I did a podcast with him a couple of
times. Did you? Yeah. A legend. I just think, brilliant. Guy who loves wine, finding out exactly what's good about it. You think that's what we need. We need rigorous science as well as flamboyance and yellow shirts. I'm wearing a yellow shirt, I should say.
Goes with your hair, though.
Thanks, mate. Yeah. It's pretty loud, though. So future stuff. Love to do more telly. I'd love to do more writing. I'd like to look at. Greece is a region I'm really interested in.
It's quite hot at the moment. They did a Wines of Greece. Was it Wines of Greece? Greece? About 6 months ago.
Yeah.
It was the first one for ages. And a lot of the media picked up.
Yeah, that's
on
right. That was up at off Tottenham Court Road, wasn't it? Yeah, that was good. Yeah, I went there last summer and I was knocked out. I just think these are really interesting local grape varieties for a start.
Yeah.
You've got your whites and your reds, you've got your Assyrtiko and your Dinamarvros and stuff. But more than that, there's just a real hunger for excellence out there. And I think they're delivering amazing boutique wines at pretty good prices. You do have to look at paying about a tenner, which I know is a lot of money, but that's kind of where they're at. They just don't have bulk and volume, and they're kind of... I think they should stick with that, to be perfectly honest. I think they should really try and make really top quality wines. I don't think they should go down the big brand route. Why would you? You know, you don't have that kind of setup. You don't have those kinds of vineyards. You don't have those kinds of factories yet. But I was just amazed, knocked out by the diversity. And also by, you know, I always think Greece is absolutely sizzling hot there all year round. It's not. You've got amazing
altitude
in Crete, yeah. You know, in Pesa, and you've got up in Amindio near the Macedonian border. It's chilly, you know, and really lovely, lovely wines coming out of them. Alpha Estate doing great stuff. Gaia making lovely wines in Nemea and Santorini. Sigalas Santorini I really like. I just think, bring it on.
Yeah.
Bring it on. Amethystos in Odbins is about a fiver. It's a nice white wine, lovely.
Yeah.
Try it, it's good.
What would, all right, let's have a wine recommendation. We don't normally do wine recommendations, but, you know, what would you recommend for quaffers?
For quaffers?
Well, no, not quaffers. Something interesting.
Okay, definitely. Well, if you pop down, if you've got a Waitrose near you, I would definitely say try Harry Hatzidakis Assyrtiko, which is just Santorini white wine is what it's called. Bit of a confusing label. Just go to the white wines, look for Greece. It's about $8.99. I know it's a lot of money, but chuck it in the fridge. It's absolutely astonishing. The fashion at the moment is a lot for those kinds of very clean, very zesty flavors.
Yeah, yeah.
This takes it to the max. This is literally like a ballerina turning into Rocky Balboa before your eyes. There's great, great intensity there, but also great, fantastic long-lasting flavor and a really unique kind of citrus flavor. It's got a slightly, people some say, smoky, but the vines over there have no irrigation. They're very, very old bush vines for white wine, which is really unique. And they get this kind of salty dew because they don't have irrigation. The sea comes in, and literally, you can sometimes, it's very, very dry, basically. It's a similar kind of kick to a really bloody good fino. It's that kind of, wow, it's zesty but savoury. I'm in heaven.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'd really recommend Harry's wine. There's another brilliant one from Santorini, which is available from Novum Wines called Thalassitis, which is made by Gaia. I think that's about $11.99.
At Waitrose?
It's not in Waitrose, but it did win the gold at Decanter.
So it's worth unavailable
seeking out. It's a bit unavailable, maybe. Yeah. But if you just sort of around and about, I mean, I think Gruner Veltlin is another brilliant grape, and Sainsbury's Taste the Difference Gruner is always a knockout.
Of all Sainsbury's Taste the Difference, that's the only one I'd recommend.
Yeah, year in, year out as well. I just think, stunning. Really nice work. So, you know, enjoy those whites. They're good stuff. And actually, you know, I've been having some quite interesting reds as well. I mean, I'm actually veering towards much more old world styles of reds at the moment. I'm really enjoying things like Chianti, which are just, there's one I'm just about to taste actually, the Piccini Oro from Tesco's, which is about $7.99. That was on offer the other day. I think it was a fiver.
Yeah.
It's ridiculously good for a fiver. I mean, unbelievable. So regions that previously maybe have let themselves go a bit that are now tightening their belts and doing good stuff, Chianti I think is one of them. Look out for it.
Okay, excellent. And What's probably been the worst thing that you've had to endure in the last 2 years? You know, because coming into it the way you have.
Do you know, that's a really, really good question, and nobody's asked me that before. But there's been no downside. I would say actually, no. The downside is that I, because of the travel and because of the intense work schedule, I'm taken away from my wife and kids a lot.
Yeah.
But I've got to do it. You know, I've got to put food on the table. That's the downside. But then the upside is I'm doing what I truly love to do. And hopefully in the longer term I can pick and choose a bit more, but it's a knockout. I tell you, I just think wine is totally the future, and I'm so proud to be doing it in the UK, which I can't believe how lucky we are, the choice on our shelves, the competition for price in the UK, the knowledge that people have, Chris, is just astonishing. The wine show that we're at today, people asking really, you know, quite whiny questions, and you
decent
think,
questions.
Wow, yeah. You know, this is,
you're doing wine walks with people, and they've got their WCT intermediate and advanced, and you're sitting there and they're asking good questions.
Yes, completely, and I think that's really important as well, and it's very interesting to see where it'll go in this country. But I'm really pleased at the moment. I just think, bring it on. It's great that people are happy to experiment and find out more, because to me it's always changing. There's always something new, and that's one of the things that really turns me on.
Do you see yourself, because I look at you more as a presenter than maybe a hardened wine critic?
Yeah, I would say that's pretty fair. I mean, for me it's all about entertainment as well as giving them the knowledge. I think, you know, tasting the wine, yes, you know, it's my absolute passion, but I want to bring it to life for them, and I'd love to, you know, deploy theatrics basically and get them engaged, and any way I can do it, I'll do it. But yeah, I would say that's completely fair. You know, I'm totally an enthusiast. I love it, and I want to share it with people, and that's where I come down.
Anything else you want?
Oh yeah, could I plug my website? Quite ruthless. Well done. Yeah. I run this free wine email bulletin. If you want to have a look, it's at hotbottle.co.uk. Free to sign up. It's just monthly recommendations. What's on offer? What's good? have a look, see what you think.
Hotbottle.co.uk.
That's the one.
Excellent. Well, I think we'll wrap it up there, Ollie.
You're a beauty. Thanks for having me, Chris.
Cheers, mate.
Take it easy.
I hope you enjoyed that. I thought the interview was fun. I often know how much fun I'm having is by how much I'm smiling when I'm editing it. Editing an interview can be a bit long and tedious sometimes, but if I'm smiling as I go through it, it's a good interview. And I found with Ollie's interview, I was smiling a lot. Next week, we're going to be talking back with Greg Hay from Peregrine. We're going to be talking all about Otago wine region and why Otago does such fantastic Pinot Noir. So until next week, cheers and good drinking.
The UK Wine Show is a weekly podcast brought to you by 3050, the wine tasting company. The show is produced by Jane Scott, recorded and edited by Chris Scott, and the news is researched by Sandra Clement. To listen to other shows, visit www.ukwineshow.co.uk. Thank you for listening.